And now, Don Blackwell.
In last week's program, we began a study of a very important question, and that is sincerity enough? The world today is filled with people who have the idea that so long as they are sincere in the things that they believe, so long as they are sincere in the things that they practice in religion, that they will be accepted of God. Friends, we need to know, is that true? Is it the case that on the day of judgment, those who were sincere, but maybe did things contrary to the Bible, will still be accepted of God? That's the question that we're going to continue studying in today's lesson. Is sincerity enough? We started our lesson last week in Judges chapter 17, reading about a man named Micah. Micah was a man who was a Jew, but he had a very strange religion. Verse 5 tells us about Micah that he had a house of gods, that is, he had graven images. And he had consecrated one of his sons to be his own priest. Of course, none of these things were according to the law of God. Verse 12 tells us that he met a Levite and hired him to be his personal priest. And he said in verse 13, "Now I know the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." The reason the man did this, according to the Bible in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, is this. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You see, this man Micah had no standard of authority except himself. He simply did what he felt was right. He simply did what was right in his own eyes. And that's exactly what many people are doing in the world today. But the question we want to ask is, was Micah accepted in God's eyes simply because he did that which he felt was right, and simply because he may have been sincere in what he was doing? We noticed last week that in every other realm that we can think of, that is not accepted. We talked about the fact that in the field of medicine, sincerity alone is not enough. Imagine a man going to the doctor, a man who has swallowed poison, and he says to the doctor, "Doctor, I have swallowed this poison pill." And the doctor asks him, "But were you sincere when you swallowed the poison? Did you sincerely believe that it was not poison?" And the man says, "Yes, doctor, I sincerely believed that it was a vitamin." And the doctor says to him, "Well, you'll be okay if you sincerely believe that it was a vitamin." Every person can understand that's not going to happen. We understand that sincerity cannot make something that is poison into non-poison. And we understand that no good doctor would recommend such a thing as this or suggest that the man would not be in danger. We also talked about other areas. We talked about the realm of business. We talked about the realm of law. Imagine a man who is a criminal who asks his lawyer, "Have I violated the law?" And the lawyer says, "Well, if you were sincere in what you did, it really doesn't matter whether or not you broke the law. Your sincerity will change your crime into a non-crime." Of course, the problem with that is it's not true. Sincerity does not make wrong into right. We can all see this clearly in the realm of law. We also talked about the realm of agriculture. We discussed two farmers. Imagine two farmers talking, and one says, "I wanted a harvest of watermelons, but I planted onion seeds by accident. But I sincerely believe that they were watermelon seeds." And so he says, "I have a disaster on my hands. I'm not going to have watermelons as I wanted. I'm going to have onions." But the other farmer says, "Oh no, as long as you sincerely believe they were watermelons, then you're going to get watermelons." Friends, not one person listening to this broadcast would believe that. But in the realm of religion, that's exactly the type of thinking that people have. We also talked about the field of education. We pointed out that a wrong answer in the field of education does not change into a right one just because a person sincerely believed the answer that he gave. Now, it's very important that we do understand that sincerity in religion is necessary. Not one of us can be saved unless we are sincere in our religion. God hates hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord condemned the scribes and Pharisees in very strong language because of their hypocrisy. So beyond a shadow of a doubt, we must be sincere if we're going to be pleasing to God. But the question we want to answer is that enough? Many people in the religious world would say, that it is. Many people would say, so long as you are sincere, it doesn't really matter what you practice, and you will be accepted of God. In the end of our lesson last week, we began to look at some examples from the Bible to see if that was what was practiced in the Bible, to see if sincerity alone made people accepted in God's sight. We noticed a man in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, whose name was Uzzah. Uzzah was a man who touched the ark of God without God's permission, in fact, contrary to the ark of God. And every indication that we have is that Uzzah was a man who was sincere. It seems that he was reaching out to steady the ark of God so that it would not fall. He had good intentions. He was sincere in what he did. And yet the Lord struck him dead because he was wrong in his actions. We can continue in the Old Testament and go over to the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, and we read about two priests, Nadab and his brother Abihu, the sons of Aaron. The Bible says that these men offered strange fire unto the Lord. Perhaps they were sincere when they did it, but they were still struck down with fire from the Lord, and they died before the Lord, the Bible says. We can come over to Numbers chapter 20, verses 3 through 12, and we read about Moses. Moses was one of the great leaders of the Bible. Moses was a good man. He's held up as one of the classic examples of faith. The Bible says, by faith Moses did this, and by faith Moses did that. But on one occasion, Moses struck the rock, even though God had told him to speak to the rock. Now, was Moses sincere when he did it? I imagine that he was, but I know that the Bible says that God punished him, Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. You may remember that in Numbers chapter 13, when the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, and they had come to the promised land, before they went to take the land, they sent 12 spies to spy out the region. Now, 10 of the spies came back with a negative report. They said, the people in the land are too big. They are giants. We can't possibly take this land. Now two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a very positive report. They said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Now the 10 who came back with the pessimistic, negative report, I have no doubt in my mind that they were sincere in what they said. They were sincerely afraid. They sincerely believed that they did not have the capability of taking this land. And they wanted to elect a new leader and to go back to Egypt. Were they sincere? Yes. Did God accept it? The answer is no. And as a matter of fact, He refused to let them enter the promised land. And they were forced to wander in the wilderness until they died. Well, we turn over to the New Testament, and we find the same thing. Sincerity does not make one right. In fact, some of the Jews who crucified Jesus, we're told, were sincere. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 17, Peter said, I know that in ignorance you did it. They were sincere. They were truly ignorant of what they were doing. But it did not change the fact that they were wrong. It did not change the fact that they had crucified the Son of God. And then we end up where we started, and that is with the Apostle Paul. Paul, who was named Saul before he had his name changed, was a very religious man. He describes himself as being exceedingly zealous in Galatians chapter 1. He was one who lived in good conscience and who took part in his religion sincerely. But the problem was, he was lost. In fact, when the Lord appeared to him, he was out on a religious mission. He was so sincere and zealous in what he was doing. He was traveling a long distance in the hot day sun to persecute Christians. But the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? The Lord said, go into the city and you'll be told what to do. Friends, you know, many preachers say that Saul was saved out there on the road to Damascus. But he was not. He himself knew that he was not saved. Jesus knew that he was not saved. And Ananias knew that he was not saved. Ananias is the preacher who was sent to him to tell him what he must do to be saved. And when Ananias got to Saul, he did not say to him, now Saul, you're already saved. You have nothing to do. He did not say to him, Saul, you have been sincere in what you're doing, and so it's okay for you to continue in that direction. That's not even close to what he said. Here's what he said. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Friend, Saul was religious. There is no doubt Saul was sincere, but he was still wrong. And so we conclude that while it's necessary for us to be sincere to please God, sincerity alone is not enough. We see many examples in the Bible. We look at men like Uzzah, men like Nadab and Abihu, men like David, and men like Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. And we see that though they were sincere, their sincerity alone did not justify them in the sight of God. Why do we think that men today would be in any different situation? We need to understand that there is such a thing as absolute truth. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, what does that mean? It means we can know it. Ye shall know the truth. And we must obey it if we're going to be saved. Not only must we know it, we must obey it. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 teaches that Jesus is the author of salvation to all those that obey Him. I must know it, and I must obey it. Obeying something other than the truth will not save me, even if I obey it sincerely. And so, friends, there are at least some things about which a person must be right in order to be saved. A man must have faith in God, Hebrews 11:6, in Jesus, John 8:24, in the gospel, Mark 16:15 and 16. He must repent of his sins. He must understand and repent, Acts 2:38. He must confess his faith in Christ, Romans 10:9 and 10. He must be baptized in water with an understanding that it's for the remission of sins, that he is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that he must be faithful unto death. Friends, sincerity alone will not save me in the sight of God. I have to know the truth, and I have to obey it. That is the only way I can be set free.